Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, March the 19th, and I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them. And I'm so glad that you're joining us today. I want to remind our audience that the call-in number is 646-478-3840, or you can interact in our chat room. And today's show is going to be exciting. All the way from Houston, Texas, we have Jeff Beal. And Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Phyllis. This is a true pleasure.
Wonderful, wonderful. Jeff, listen, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I have helped companies grow for several years, upwards of over 100% in traffic, conversion, other things. Basically, in a nutshell, you can call it marketing. But what I do basically is help companies position themselves as authorities in front of their target audience. So that's what I do, I would say, in a short elevator speech. And it encompasses a lot of different things, whether it's SEO or social media, the media relations. It encompasses a lot of things, but basically my main objective is to help you get in front of your audience in a positive way.
Listen, you know, marketing is so important. Do you find that most business owners, and I'm just going to say small business owners, if they allow an adequate budget for marketing?
I'm glad you specify small business owners. I would say in the small business arena, they don't. I don't think that they have the same mindset as a larger company. And let me go into this a little bit in depth. A small business owner usually looks at it as out-of-pocket expense and money loss. And so with that mindset, they come very gingerly to losing money. So if I'm marketing and I'm advertising, and let me specify, marketing and advertisement, that's two things of the same type of, I would say, space, which is marketing, but they're not the same thing. And a lot of times people lump it into one, marketing and advertisement as one thing, but actually marketing is getting your message out in front of a specific audience, where advertisement may be a piece of that. And so, you know, you should separate it, but most people lump it together as one thing. But going back to budget, a lot of small business owners look at budget out of pocket as a loss. So they approach it in a negative way of I'm losing money by advertising. Hopefully I'll make that money back. Where larger companies look at it as an investment and I expect to make a lot more back. Larger companies, of course, have the budget to do so, but they throw money at a lot of things. So they'll try different things. And if they lose money, they aren't as – I'm not going to say they're not concerned. They are concerned, but not – you know, they look at it as, let's throw a lot of money at different things, see what works, and then we'll take the money and shift it over to what works and make even more money. So it's a different approach between a small business and a larger enterprise.
Well, do you think that maybe small businesses don't budget for it because, well, for one, they probably don't have a marketing person, and you know, to manage your marketing, I mean, marketing is not no small feat.
Well, I would say things on that. One, with your money, be very wise. A fool and his money will part. That's always a true statement. So be wise. You don't want to just throw money to say that you're throwing money at a certain marketing. But marketing should be approached in a way of what value can you provide to a specific audience, the community or whoever your target audience would be. So if you approach it in that way, now you can market yourself. And the problem with a lot of companies I've found have been that they don't target. They market to everybody. They spread their message to everybody. But to be honest, if you don't understand who you're targeting, how can you market to them? Because marketing is getting a specific message in front of them. So what message would you give them if you don't know who they are? And that's one of the things. A lot of companies don't want to take that time to step back and say, this is our ideal customer. This is what they need. And this is how we can fill that need. This is our value. They don't approach it that way. They say, this is what I sell. I sell it to anybody that'll buy it. Let's go. and it makes it a lot of hurdles to jump over when you do it that way.
Ooh, you're right. I agree wholeheartedly. That's so true. You got to know who your target market is. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Jeff. I want to get down to the meat of today, and that is for you to share with us an ethical dilemma that you experienced.
Okay.
You have one for us today?
I do. In marketing, of course, you deal with a lot of ethics, and there are some competitors out there that you may look at that may be doing things that aren't above board, and it seems as if they're succeeding. And so in business, it's hard because you look at this is what the market will bear. This is what I offer. This is how I offer it. But this other company, they're taking shortcuts and succeeding, or at least it seems as if they're succeeding. So in this case, I'll share one. I used to consult with a company. I worked with a company actually consulting their clients, and they weren't above board. So it was a very short-lived relationship, a whole lot of fussing, a whole lot of not seeing eye to eye, and we end up parting ways. But what happened, they were going on industry speak or industry jargon and eluding that they were offering one thing when they really weren't, and the customers the clients were paying for one thing thinking they were getting this. So let me get into depth. The company I was working for was eluding that you were getting SEO, which is organic search, which is natural search. And the difference between organic search and paid search on the search engine results, organic search is what you see on the left-hand side. Usually it's underneath the ads. The first slot usually is an ad slot, so it'll be underneath the ads, but it's the organic slot. And this is the sites that are relevant to a search based on several different factors. But it's for the search engines, what their goals are to provide their searchers the best results for whatever they're searching for. And based on the algorithm, it's more of a true result. So it's more like a word-of-mouth referral versus an advertisement, which is on the right-hand side and at the top. And so those are the pay-to-play. So as long as you have more budget, if you're willing to spend more, your ad will come on top, whether you're the best at that particular service or product or not. You just paid more, so you show up. So more people trust the organic side because, you know, it's not a paid placement. So people pay for that. People pay for SEO specialists such as myself and others to come in and help them create a strategy and implement a plan that has you ranking on the organic side. So that's
okay,
a little education on the difference.
Okay, so now Jeff, when you say left and right side, I am looking at, I did a search on vacuum cleaners. And I'm looking on the left, and I see a column, and the first three say add, add, add. And this is the organic side? Is that what you're telling me?
That
the left?
See, the first three are actually advertisements, but underneath that, everything underneath that that does not have ad on it, that's organic. That's the organic.
That's organic.
So, yes. So the search engine saying, based on their content, their link referrals, what they actually say on their site, offer on their site, what people in social are saying about them, they're the most relevant sites when it comes to vacuum cleaners.
Okay.
So it's more trusted. Versus the paid side. The paid side, you know that he paid more to say that he offers this.
Right.
So that, that's the difference between the two. So it's a trust factor. It's a trust factor. So taking you back to the older days and not dating ourselves, if you're on television and you were to see a commercial, you trusted 50, 60%. But if you were to actually see a show where someone was a guest and then they all of a sudden are talking about whatever interests you, you trust them a whole lot more because they're, you know, referred by, let's say, the Oprah Winfrey show, or, you know, they're referred by the Do the Right Thing show. So you trust them more versus an ad. So that's the difference. So in this, they were selling SEO. They were giving SEM. Now, where it makes it very muddy, first of all, the clients thought that they were on the organic side, but they didn't know the difference. They didn't even know there was a difference. They just said, oh, I'm on the first page of Google. They were paying a certain amount to be on the organic side, but they were actually on the ad side, and the company was pooling their money with their competitors' money all in the same advertisement budget and advertising them all the same and giving them all the same results, all the same reports. So you're advertising, I'm advertising, and you're thinking you had 10,000 people visit your site, and I'm thinking I had 10,000 people visit my site, but we both have our own our money in the same bucket, advertising the same thing, and they just calculated the pool of results and gave it to everybody. So now you see where the ethics come in.
Yes, I do. Okay. So they asked you to present this to their clients?
My job was to talk with the clients when they called in to complain or inquire on their campaign. And so they would call in and they would say, the report said I had 1,000 emails. I did not receive 1,000 emails. And the report said that I had X amount of traffic and this and that. I don't see it. My job was to educate them, not on the numbers in the report, but to educate them on what SEO was and how the search engines work. That was my job. And it was hard to do my job because I was saying, well, to be honest, technically, you are on the first page of Google, but you are not in the organic side. You're not organically ranking. That's where the conflict came into play because I wasn't supposed to tell them that. I was supposed to stick to the script of, are you on the first page of Google, yes or no? Yes. Why are you complaining? And, it depends on how you look at that letter of the law. Technically, yes, you are on the first page, but it's not what you paid for. That was not what you paid for. And then when we start going deeper into the analytic and the reports, that's where it started to get very uncomfortable because they want to know, you said I had X amount of phone calls, X amount of visitors, X amount of emails. I did not get that. How can you report this to me? And I'm supposed to say, well, that's what our numbers show. What are your people doing? Did they answer the call? Did they do, you know, supposed to push it back on you. And versus saying, well, technically, you didn't. Collectively, everyone collectively had this amount of calls. You may have gotten two calls, maybe, out of that. And so it was hard. And, it wasn't something that I could continue to do. I used to always have, we'd have meetings, and we would have problems because I would always educate them on this is really what SEO is. And they would always say, well, just continue to make sure that the client's a happy client. And, you know, as they escalated up to you, because I was the second tier. I wasn't the first tier of complaints. Mm-hmm. I was the escalation team. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to talk in very technical jargon and make you feel as if you just are not up to speed, and you would get frustrated. You would say, well, you're the expert, and continue to make your monthly retainer payments. So that was my job. My job was to talk very techie, very intelligently, and frustrate you to where you just submit. Mm-hmm. And as you submit, you continue to pay until finally you get smart enough to hire an SEO consultant that comes in and shows you exactly, but you would have to do that on your own. So, that was I think that was the most uncomfortable, unethical situation I've been in it, as far as in my career.
So how did you resolve it?
Well, I left the company. we terminated that relationship. But a lot of meetings. It was a lot of uncomfortable, very fiery meetings. I started educating the clients a lot more than I was supposed to. So it became uncomfortable for all of us because I would let them know, this is SEO, this is SEM, this is how your reports are coming. Basically, this is how you can check yourself and find out what you're doing. And it became a big problem. So, yes, all of us were uncomfortable, and we very mutually ended that business relationship.
Well, now Jeff, could it have been resolved another way?
Only if they would have been above board and honest with what they were providing.
Yeah.
If they were to say, look, here's what we're doing. You're paying for paid placement, and we are collectively, as a network, placing you. And if they agree with that, then I think it would have been a good package. I mean, it's nothing wrong with the act of what they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they were selling.
Right.
If they would have
just
said, hey, you're all vacuum cleaner for, you know, providers in the Houston area, and we're going to collectively, instead of you spending only $500 and getting $500 worth, we're going to pool you and five others together and collectively, or let's say four others together, and collectively y'all will spend $25,000 toward advertisement amongst you all, then that's fair. You know what you're getting. That's fair.
And if your
competitors' ads just are better than your ads and they get more business, then that's something you can live with. But I think that's the only way we could have resolved it in a way that everyone would have been happy and it would have been ethical.
So are they still in business?
Oh, they're big business. I won't mention the name, but they're still doing it, and they are a large everyone heard of business. And they're still doing it.
Have
several complaints. But the problem is when dealing with big fish, you know, little small companies, you can complain, but not much you can do about it, you know, until you
mm-hmm.
can lure you up, basically. They have their contracts written in a way that, you know, if you don't know the terminology, you signed it. I mean, it's in the contracts, and basically, if you go to court, it'll be hard to, you know, ethics. I think when it comes to it, ethics and justice are not the same. You know, it's in the contract, so they'll say it was in the contract. You read it. You signed it. You know, just like I explained to you what SEO really is, the majority of small business don't even know what SEO is. They've heard the term, and they know it means search engine optimization, and they may have read a blog post or two, but they don't really know what SEO is about.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy that how people are just – used, manipulated to think, I don't know, I'd be pretty upset if I found out that's what was happening and that's not what I'm paying for it to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting part about it is you're locked into a year contract. So even if you want to discontinue your service, you're there for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get a year of your money.
Mm-hmm.
I would say for all small businesses out there, educate yourself as much as possible before utilizing a service provider and ask the questions up front. Ask, you know, them and a few others to see what common answers come back, what makes sense, what research you've done that makes sense, because something like SEO, social media, everyone has their opinion and method of doing it, but it might not be right for your business. I tell a lot of, you know, I do a lot of consultation, and I tell people when I consult, if someone comes to you and offers you a solution and they've never heard your problem, think of it as going to the doctor and them just prescribing you some medicine and you never told them what was wrong with you. Because that's exactly what's going on. Exactly. You know, if a company comes to me and wants me to consult them, I'm asking them a bunch of questions up front. I want to know, do you know your target audience? And who is that? What do you offer? Not what you offer, but what are the benefits to what you offer? Because people don't buy what you offer. Don't nobody care about a vacuum cleaner. Don't nobody buy a vacuum cleaner just for a vacuum cleaner. They want a clean house. They don't want germs. They don't want dust in the air. That's why they buy a vacuum cleaner. They don't buy it because it's, you know, a top-of-the-line vacuum cleaner. So that's the thing, you know, getting them to understand what do you offer that's very beneficial. Let's sell the benefit. We don't care about the product or the service. That's not why people buy. And then, of course, what are your expectations? What are your goals? What behaviors do your target audience take when doing a buying path or in a buying path? You know, do they research online or is it something that's just an impulse buy? You know, because there's some things you don't need to research. You just buy because, hey, it's something to buy. Let's buy it.
Right.
There's other things you may want to do a little digging. You want to compare, you know. A lot of times people always go on price. Well, the funny thing about price is, the lowest price doesn't mean it's the best product. The highest price doesn't mean it's the best product. But here's the thing. A lot of people say, well, I'll just cut my price. They end up cutting their price, and it hurts everyone. Instead of saying, instead of cutting my price, let me better define my benefit or find an increased value of benefit. So that's the type of things, if you're dealing with a service provider, especially in marketing, and they're not asking you questions. They're building you a website, and they never ask you anything about your audience. They're just building you a site, you know. Then they're just doing their job and taking your money. I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying they're doing their job and taking your money, but they're not as concerned with your business growth because they never ask anything about your business.
Wow. Wow. That's that a lot of people don't know that though, Jeff. I mean, and what happens too is if you have a lot of times people go on recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody was to recommend a marketing person or a website person or whatever, you know, it's a vicious cycle. People just keep going back and no one knows what they're marketing for. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're just going off of a referral and they're still blind to what they really need.
Yes, and I think that, you know, referrals are good, but also understand that your business is different. Unless you're both selling the exact same thing, you know, if I'm consulting you, it'll be a lot different than consulting someone that you refer because y'all offer different things. Y'all have different audience.
Mm-hmm.
They have different buying behaviors. So referrals are great. Now, I recommend, you know, if you have referrals, then, you know, that's one step above advertisement. But at the same sense, make sure that they care about your business. They care about you accomplishing whatever your goal is because that's what you're paying them for. Now, if it's something that's, you know, something that's like a out-the-box product, then you might not have to do as much consulting. You know, if it's something like, let's say somebody is designing I don't know. Everything I do, I try to get into the minds of you and your customer. But if it's something that's just like out the box, then you don't have to go through the back and forth with understanding anything. It's just, you know, something, let's say somebody's designing a banner for you and you have the logo and the imagery and the wording, then, you know, they can just design that banner. You should understand where they should fit into you growing your business and then understand that some of them will ask questions. Others won't. Some need to and some don't. It's very interesting because a lot of times when I ask questions, some of my clients have been frustrated because they're like, well, I just want you to think for me, in a sense. You know, I don't want to answer those questions. Just do it. And it's really hard to aim at a target that you don't know where that target is or what that target is. So it's about finding fit. It's finding somebody that fits. If you're the type that don't want to answer the question, you just want somebody to come in, their best shot at it, and hopefully it works out, then there's a lot of clients or service providers and product providers out there that are willing to do that. And you should use them. But if you're the type that you're like, I want somebody that really wants to understand where I want to be and help me get there, then you might need somebody that takes a more consultative approach. So, you know, and it helps you because you're not just getting the questions. It's not a one-way street. It should be two ways. Because as they're doing that, you're getting to know how they do business. See, that's the one thing with this, when we're talking ethics.
Right.
If they're the type that say, well, just pay me $5,000 and sit back and relax, then if something happens, you never ask any questions. You just paid the $5,000 and you did nothing. So, you know, we have our report here. I'm sure you have some form. When the reporters are knocking at your door asking you about practices that you may have done, it's hard for you to say that, oh, I didn't know. Well, you didn't know because you never asked. You never was involved. You just handed over your money, and whatever they did, your brand's on it. Not theirs, your brand. And so it's the same thing. You know, you should be interviewing your provider, service provider, and your product providers as much as they interview you, because you want to know, if I give you this money, are you an ethical person? Do you have character and values that are aligned with mine? Because my name's on this at the end of the day.
You're right. Well, listen, Jeff, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to thank our audience for tuning in. And, Jeff, if someone wanted to reach you, how would they reach you?
Sure. If you would like to reach me, you can go to my website, which is MrMarketology.com. It's MrMarketology.com. Also on my social, I branded myself on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Look for Mr. Marketology. Basically, you would just put in Mr. Marketology after each one, and you'll find me. And phone number, you can reach me at 770-852-0623 if you would like to call in and ask any questions.
Super, super. And listen, next week's show we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he or she faced. So I invite my listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.